His name, Buford Pusser. It's just very fun to say. I've always enjoyed coming down here and getting on the Buford Pusser highway or whatever it is. But
I will say this before his daughter has since passed away, but she had a restaurant in Adamsville called Pusser's.
I can't.
I'm not sure that that's a great name for a restaurant.
You can get the Pusser special. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not eating there. I didn't know she passed away.
A big Pusser burger.
A big Pusser burger.
She did. Yep.
Joni, ooh.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Good day. I started to say good morning, but I don't know when anybody's listening to this. Hey, y'all, we are working into episode 40, and we are broadcasting from the catfish capital of the world, Savannah, Tennessee.
That's right. I'm live down in Joni's guest room. I'm coming to you from the guest room. Where are you, Joni?
I am live in John Garrett's, should I say bedroom, or I'm not sure what I'm in the middle
cave.
Of here.
Cave. Man cave.
It's a man cave.
Yeah, we are designer cornbread are together at last again. So
reunited and it feels so good.
Okay. Yeah, we've had some days together. So our catching up, I mean, we've been together since Thursday. I don't even remember what happened before that. I don't know.
Well, I had two days of it in service. I am done.
That's right.
With school for the summer.
School's out for summer.
My phone is on silent. I am not checking email. I will be in the pool.
There you go. That's a true statement. That's where her office now, her summer office. Now.
if you need to talk
to her, you can put your suit on and come on over.
That's right. I'm not cooking. Gosh. I'm not serving. Everybody is on their own.
That's right. It's a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. Except tonight. Well, you're not cooking tonight. We're having something. Right? It's Memorial Day. We're recording this on Memorial Day just so people can have context. You know, so we're going to do some burgers and I don't know what all. Good stuff.
And celebrate our freedom.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So. Well, this week, while Holly has been here, I have entertained her greatly.
Yes, true.
It's true. We went to the next town over, Adamsville, Tennessee, and to the, I can't say it, y'all, I struggle through this.
Okay.
To the Buford Pusser Festival.
That's right. You
say
did
that
it.
Fast. You can't say it.
Buford Pusser Festival. I know it's a tongue twister. So when I was driving into town on Thursday, I come through Adamsville to get to Savannah, and there was a big old banner across the street that said that this weekend was the Buford Pusser Festival. And I was like, well, that sounds like something designer cornbread needs to attend. So, and the highway is Buford Pusser Highway. And for those of you that don't, Joni is going to tell you a little bit about Buford Pusser, because he's very famous down here.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Tell us who he is.
So, all right, Buford Pusser was a sheriff over in McNairy County, and I believe he grew up in Adamsville. Matter of fact, I know he grew up in Adamsville. He was a huge man. He was like 6'6", and went into the Marine Corps. I mean, and then after the Marine Corps, he was like a wrestler. So, he's just a big dude.
He was a big dude. Yeah.
Did not carry a gun. He carried a big stick. Mm-hmm. You can actually watch. There were about three movies, I believe, made of in the 70s called Walking Tall. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing, though, when he moved back down here, I think Adamsville, McNairy County were getting pretty corrupt because they were dry counties. And so when he came back home, they moved to Chicago for a little bit. And when he came back home, there was all kind of moonshiners going on. There was prostitution. There were gambling rings. They were all these things that he didn't appreciate. And that man broke them up. Hang on, I did have a stat here somewhere. I think that he, in his first year of being sheriff, broke up like 75 plus moonshine steals.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And arrested all kinds of people. It was a lot.
Wasn't he the youngest sheriff in the state or the country? I feel like we heard that the other day that he was young.
I believe that's, yeah, I'm not sure on that stat, but he was young.
Okay. So he broke up all these shiners.
He broke up, and there were like two major main gangs of it. One was like the State Line gang, and another was the Dixie Mafia.
Oh yeah.
And Dixie Mafia. And they came at him by, I want to say that by the time he was 32, he had been he'd been shot like 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
He'd been stabbed. He'd been run over in a car. Oh, here it is. In his first year as sheriff, he raided 42 steals and arrested 75 moonshiners.
Goodness.
That's just in one county.
Yeah, that's in one county.
And so, yeah, they did not like him, and they came after him with a vengeance. So he went out on a call. He got a call about a disturbance, but it was really an ambush. Mm-hmm. And so when he went out, they opened fire on him. And his wife, I don't know why his wife decided to go with him, but
maybe they were out and about together. You know, maybe they were already driving and he got the call. I don't know.
And she was killed.
Yeah. She got shot and killed. And they came back and shot her again, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think he was tending to her and they came and shot her. I don't know. It was terrible.
He got shot in that ambush, he was like shot in the face like 3 times. I want to say 2 or 3 times.
His whole jaw.
I don't know, but I mean, left him, his whole jaw was disfigured. And so anyway, but that's the big story about Buford Pusser. He really did clean up a lot, but it was they came after him. It was it was a whole big Southern gang fight.
And then a few years later, I mean, he ends up getting in a car wreck that they're not, which killed him.
Right. Well, here's the deal.
What happened.
Here's my little interesting fact for me. He came, you know, my dad, my granddaddy owned the drugstore in the next county over, and he came in the drugstore and had this new car or fairly new car. And my dad was out looking at it, and I was there with my sisters. He said, "Hey, just pile the girls up. I'll take them for a ride." And we got in the car and we rode.
Now, I really don't remember.
People
are after this man. What were your parents thinking?
I know. That's what Holly and
Go
I
ahead.
Saw the car. So wait, let me finish. So one week later, he was coming back from a fair or something. I don't know. But he wrecked. Now, all my life, I've heard that his brakes were cut and he hit an embankment. Now, I don't know.
They've never been able to prove that. But
because it was a big old fiery.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole car, they had the car there at the museum and there's nothing left.
No, it's just kind of the chassis and it's not even.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Which was
nuts.
Weird
I cannot,
for me
I
to
cannot
sit
believe
there.
That your parent, that they let you get in that car with a dude that like everyone is after.
Everybody was after. That's what I looked at Holly as I'm sitting there looking at that frame.
She's like,
why did my parents let us ride with him?
Here's a guy that's ticked off half all the shiners in the county, but go ahead, girls, get up in there.
Y'all go ahead and get in. Because
again,
that was even after the ambush.
It was the 70s. We didn't. Our parents weren't right. Anyway. Yeah. And it's just really his name, Buford Pusser. It's just very fun to say. I've always enjoyed coming down here and getting on the Buford Pusser highway or whatever
highway.
It is. But
I will say this before his daughter has since passed away, but she had a restaurant in Adamsville called Pusser's.
I can't.
I'm not sure that that's a great name for a restaurant.
You can get the Pusser special. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not eating there. I didn't know she passed away.
A big Pusser burger. She did.
Yep. Joni, ooh. Maybe that's what we're having tonight. We'll call them Pusser burgers. Pusser. I like it. Oh, you guys. Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah, so it was fun. I mean,
yeah, watch Walking Tall sometime when you're looking for a movie.
And those movies came out when he was still, the first one came out, he was still alive, and I think he'd signed to maybe be in one of the second.
He was going to be in the, maybe I think the second one.
I think it was.
Yeah, they paid him like $2 million to be in it, and then he
died,
did not.
We'll say, but we know. We know the truth.
We know. We
don't come for us, Dixie Mafia. We're not. Yeah, so we
Holly's
did that.
Looking for your moonshine still, but not to bust it up.
Right. Don't worry. Don't worry. Your secret's safe with me. So that was really, that was just something that we felt like we needed to experience. So really we went to the museum, and his house is his home is where the museum is. And it's straight out of the 70s. I mean, the curtains, the carpet.
The big round black bathtub.
Big old black, weird bathtub. And it kind of gave me all the creeps.
I had been in there one other time. I mean, once you see it once, there's really no need to go back. But I had seen it once before. And that's all I really remembered about it was the black bathtub.
Yeah, it made an impression. You're like, what in the world?
Oh,
yeah.
But listen, we're sitting in there. And they show you, walk in, they show you a little movie. But as we're sitting there, some dude walks in, hits his head on the chandelier.
He cranks himself on the chandelier that's hanging right in the middle.
Breaks off one of the little hangy-down pieces.
He moaned for a good 5 minutes. I mean, he clocked himself on that chandelier. And I'm sitting right there next to it. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, oh, gosh, are you okay? And then the little lady running the movie. I mean, I'm like, y'all are going to get sued.
Yeah.
Put that chandelier, do something. But they had all kind of memorabilia all throughout it. So, it was just, we just felt like it was something we needed to check out. So we did that.
Went over, they had like a little carnival going on and a petting zoo and
pony rides. Joni didn't want to do a pony ride. I offered to let her do a pony ride and she said no. So, that was our day. And then we came back and got in the pool because
That's what we do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I'm pulling up my notes because they're just on my little thing here to see what else. Oh, I know. We wanted to chit chat. So your John Garrett is up at camp.
He is
at Ridgecrest and getting ready for the campers to come, and it just makes us all nostalgic because we're like camp.
It's always this time of year, and you and I have talked about it before. I don't know if it is the smell of wet wood
there's a smell
in the air that I'm like, it's time for me to go pack my Foot Locker.
Yeah. I must pack my trunk.
It's time. It is time.
I'll just pack my trunk and come down here every year. Ron sees this big old black trunk coming out. He's like, oh no.
But if you grew up going to summer camp, you'd know what we're talking about. And if you didn't, I will just say there is one of my friends had a phrase and she just said, it's the power of camp. And there is such a huge power, I would say, in Christian camping. I don't know. I mean, I went to Girl Scout camp a couple of times and it wasn't the same, but there is a power in Christian camping that is unlike any that I've ever experienced. And I will tell you that I yearn to go back. I just want to do it all over again. Fantastic. The stories, the people, that you meet, it's just outstanding.
It really is. We were talking about it the other day, just trying to, you and I were chatting I had said something to you about how John Garrett had called us or something and called you and was talking and they'd gotten assigned their villages now.
Are they their cabins or cabins, their tribes. Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah.
Got assigned their groups and their cabins and their counselors and everything. And then they have a week still here to train and do stuff. And then before the kids come in, I just remember that the feeling went, so we would go for orientation early when we were counselors and, that feeling right before the campers come and you're there as counselors and you're doing stuff and you're getting ready, and having had been there for many, many years, that feeling of knowing that like the whole summer is laid right. out before me. You know what I mean? Like I've got the whole summer where all this awesome stuff is going to happen. I don't know, you know, all the fun things. I don't know all the cool people I'm going to get to know more and the funny stories, you know, but I know it's there. It was like the best feeling to know that all the terms are, you know, we still have everything to do, everything to look forward to. It just was the best feeling. It was the best feeling ever.
And for me, I lived the rest of my year just for those weeks that came up.
A lot of kids do that. Actually, it's like the favorite, you know, the 2 weeks of the, you know, a lot of these kids and counselors, but like kids that just go for even one term, you know, it's like they live for that 2 weeks. Why do you think, what is it if you had to describe, you know, why is that?
I just think for me and growing up here, I had a lot of friends who went to church, but I don't know that I had a lot of friends who had a relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so when I could go to camp and, you know, and all the peer pressure, and I can remember just thinking, okay, I got to be cool, or I mm-hmm. got to be this, or I got to be that.
Right.
When I got to camp, I could just be total Christian Joni. Mm-hmm. And I was around people who had and understood that relationship, where most of my friends had no clue what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they just did not. And so I was always kind of a little lone wolf here. Right. But when I go to camp, I could be exactly who I was, and I could be loved for who I was, accepted for who I was. And I think the unique thing about our camp is we were not the perfect athletes. We were not the perfect, you know, and so we got to be out there in nature and you know, and I will give a lot of that to Hino too, to our camp director. Mm-hmm. He was so good at loving mm-hmm. everybody,
making you feel special. And
he knew your name. When you got off that bus coming to camp, it didn't matter if he'd never met you before. He knew your name.
And was, he did. He really did every single year, all the years there. And just was, you always just felt like he was just so, he and Jane and everybody, they're just so glad you were there.
Yeah.
They're just so glad that you were there. And, you know, when you're a kid growing up, just to tag on to what you were saying, that is for sure, you know, that feeling of just being able to just be myself and not that, you know, you're yourself with I had a really good group of friends, in my junior high and high school years. I was really blessed, but you know, still exactly the things you were saying, kind of pressures and that every kid, and you're in school and who's this and that and all of that. And you just get to camp and it didn't matter. You were your camp self, which really to me was my true
self. Yeah.
A little more unguarded.
Yes.
Self, you know, and you were just accepted and for the most part. I mean, I know everyone didn't have a perfect experience. I'm not trying to overly. Yeah.
Well, and, whatever, and one of the things that I loved.
Felt good.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just say it felt good, you know?
It did. Well, and one of the things I loved about being a counselor as well was being challenged. You know, you had people from all walks in their spiritual life, mm-hmm. and some were weaker, some were just kind of coming into it, mm-hmm. and some were really, really strong, or they had different things that they were dealing with, and you were just challenged. Like I remember that Andra Barrett was really into Elizabeth Elliot and Passion and Purity and all of these things, you know, that really, to be honest with you, I never thought about, never, you know, not as deep of a scale as that was. Mm-hmm. And to just really dive into those things.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely grew as counselors as much as we did as campers. I think so anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Absolutely. And you get to try new things and just, you know, be on your own for a little bit away from your parents. You know, I think there's always, I know some parents, you know, especially now, I think it might be a little harder than it used to be, but you know, the idea of sending your kid away for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever can be a little bit unnerving, but it's really good for your kids.
Well, and it, I think it really helped me discover too, as a child, who I was, because, you know, my dad worked a lot. Now we went to the lake, and I don't mean this as a trashing session for my parents by any means. That's not what this is.
No, no.
But my dad worked a lot. I mean, he owned a drugstore. He had to be there all the time. He was not just real athletic. Now, he did give me a love of the water. I mean, 100% love of the water. Mm-hmm. My mom, though, I'm very different from my mom in that she's a mathematician. She's very analytical. She did not want to go outside and, you know, pursue outdoor activities. Right. She was very content doing Sudoku or, you know, those little mind games inside. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like either one of them. I always joke that I'm kind of adopted because, I'm ready to be out romping and stomping in the creek. I'm ready to ride the horses. I'm ready to go camping and go hiking. And so camp just gave me that outlet to.
Yeah, it lets you do all that.
I didn't I didn't have to be a lady. You know, I could go get in the mud. And
don't you remember? I think that's one of the number one things I remember. Sorry, you guys, I have some kind of weird cold, so I'm going to clear my throat.
It's the southern. It's the southern allergies.
I don't know. I'm allergic to the south. Whole south. Yeah. Anyway, I remember. So. I tended to have the older campers. Joni for sure had the older and CITs and stuff when we were counselors. I had a few of the middle age as I was junior counselor, but I tended to have the older ones. And it was always so fascinating because to watch the transformation of when they got to camp and it takes a few days. It took almost sometimes the first week. Yeah. To be honest, that's why I would also say like a 2 week time or, you know, a week is so fast. You barely can get into it. It could take like the first week for these girls to drop
the bows to come out of the hair.
Right. Now, not all of them by any means. No, I mean, you know, not by any means, but, you know, just cause you're in that mode and you're in that. And being an all girl, I'm always a huge proponent for single sex, all girl or all boy camps. Cause there's a magic there. That's really where the magic is. Because that lets you just, there's no boys to worry about. Nobody's trying to impress anybody.
You're not trying to,
You can look a fool and get dirty. I mean, I remember some girls who had never gotten a drop of mud on them probably.
Right.
And by week two, they're on the adventure hike. They're on the creek float. They're having the best time. And, you know, same thing for the guys. And this all applies at Ridgecrest and Crest Ridge, the camps that our kids have gone to, you know, that single sex camp experience. They're not worried about impressing the girls. They're not worried about, they can just be guys together and just, yes, I'm sure there's a lot of farting. I'm sure there's a lot of all whatever the things, but you know, it just lets them be for a couple of weeks.
Well, I remember when we went to pick up the boys and we were so happy because when we were pulling into that boys' camp, you looked at me and you said, "This is Lord of the Flies."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They were running around.
Oh,
you know,
they just go
shirtless, it's just dirty. I mean, it was perfect.
It lets them just be boys and they can do it all the way up until they're those blessed teenagers that start to get, you know, I think with them, it's, you know, tough to just be a boy again, be a kid and sing goofy songs and all the things. Yeah. So it's just a huge, huge blessing. You know, really changes your life. So that's our little.
So, well, I don't know, I've got a couple of things I want to say, but one of the things, coming to camp, especially as a counselor, when I could drive and I was driving my own car and, you know, I left Savannah and drove all the way across, you know, the state of Missouri into the Ozarks. But when I turned on that, it wasn't necessarily the road to camp, but turning off that main highway. At Yonkers is what we called it.
Yonkerville.
And you'd cross that creek. And you know, I had my windows down. I had Amy Grant blaring out my windows.
So much Amy Grant. And so much.
It was like coming home.
Yeah, you know, that's how it felt every time.
It was like coming home to a home you want to go to. I mean, I know everybody doesn't have the greatest home life, but
right.
It was like, you know, that feeling of what home should be.
Yeah.
It was like going home.
Yeah, very much so. Like you just could not wait.
Yeah, but as you were going back, I want to go back to your 2 weeks of watching the girls transform after a week. One of my favorite stories, we have a friend with the biggest contingents, you had a lot of Jackson, Mississippi girls, a lot of Memphis, Tennessee girls, and a lot of St. Louis girls. And
those were the main three areas
mm-hmm. that they came from. So they would recruit from those areas. But we have a friend who is a counselor and in charge of the horses. And he is a real life bona fide cowboy in Wyoming, you know, big handle. I mean, massive man. I don't know how big Rex is. Big old handlebar mustache, 10-gallon hat, the whole nine yards, you know. And there is nothing reserved about the man. I mean, there is not it's not the propriety. He's not coming in a suit. He's not going to wear a tie.
He rode his horse to camp.
Yeah, he rode that horse into camp.
Rode it in.
But I don't know why he was in Memphis, but they had like a little recruiting thing for camp at the junior league. And so all of these girls who went to camp with their junior league mamas and everything, you know, they're having this
monogram
recruiting thing.
Not that there's anything wrong with the monograms.
No. But okay. It was, I mean, just getting in your head, the country club, you know, image here. And in walks Rex. And Brooke, it's Brooke that always talks about it. And she said, so here we are in our perfect little dresses and our designer shoes and our designer this. And she said, and all their perfect little girls all of a sudden went, Rex! And ran over.
Because, people that knew him had met him.
Yes, the little girls. Yes.
I'm with you.
You know, she said, we were hanging on to this big old cowboy who looked like he, you know, just came off a horse while our mothers are standing there and they're, you know, looking at their precious little peanuts going, what is going on here?
What's happening? Where have we sent them? That's a great story. That's so true. It's like, you see people out of the camp setting and it just brings it all back. That's hilarious. I get to see little Brooke.
Yeah. But I will say I felt more loved at camp overall than any place in my life, you know, by everybody. It was, you know, you can be loved by a few people at your school. You know, you're loved by your family. But overall, I felt very loved by everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone at camp. And, you know, and it just gave me a deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord every time I went.
Because it's really a picture. I mean, I think one of the goals is to just be a picture of Christ, you know, to one another. No, you know, again, not perfect. Everything went in perfectly. But that feeling of a little bit of heaven on earth, that feeling of just a little bit of, okay, this is the fellowship. This is what, you know, no one really had an agenda. I mean, I know I don't know. I know I was a camp, but I was a counselor many years. And I know there's things. We dealt with different aspects of running camp and you know, the highs and the lows, you had problem kit, you had things that happened, but there was no political, not like, you know, in the midst of the camp. I don't know. I never felt that way anyway. Yeah. No one was something else.
I just know that, you know, we would all just, we would cry the last day of camp. We'd cry and cry. I don't want to go back to the real world. I don't want to go back to the real world.
Yeah, the real world.
And I can remember our camp director looked at us one time and he said, hey gang, this is the real world. This is how the world should look. He said, you're going to the mission field.
And that challenge to always try to take your camp things with you back to school, back to college, back to your church, you know, take the things that you learned and the things that you loved about camp and try to be, you know, you love being accepted and loved. Well, go be accepted, accepting and loving. to the people in your, you know, go take that forward was always a good word. So, oh my goodness.
So you gotta, you wanna, can I tell them a quick John Garrett story?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go for it.
So John Garrett is up in the mountains, and I have been up in the mountains, and I know it gets very, very chilly at night, especially in the spring. And I looked at the weather, and it was going to dip down into the high 30s, low 40s. And I decided I would get on Amazon and send him an electric blanket. And so I did that, and it arrived, and he was very thankful for it. Mm-hmm. And he, but the first night that he plugged it in and was sleeping with it, it was just a fluke, but the fire alarm went off in his cabin. He's in there with about 8 other, you know, guys, because they're, you know, doing counseling stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Mom, I was between like sleep and wake, and, you know, things don't process real well." He said, "So I went, fire alarm, electric blanket, I'm on fire." He jumps up out of bed and he starts screaming, "I'm on fire. I'm on fire. And then he said, and then I realized that I wasn't on fire, but I thought I had like burned the cabin down. And so anyway,
can you imagine his other his people in the cabin with him? Like, what in the world?
What is going on?
They probably thought he was on fire for a second.
He did. Oh,
gosh. Stop, drop, and roll.
That's right. Don't you, I'm on fire. Help me, Oprah.
Help me, Tom Cruise. Oh my gosh, my head. Anyway, it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the things too that we wanted to chat just a little bit, but I don't know. But one of the little towns, the little town up there by Ridgecrest, is Little Black Mountain, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's in the area up there, you know, or you're ever going through, it is a delightful little mountain town.
Yes.
It's just delightful. We love it. We've spent so much time there just because we've been coming and going and taking kids and picking up. And it's right. I mean, it's the next town right next to camp. And we just love it. We just, we kind of want to live there. We want to borrow people's porches.
Nice.
We drive by people's porches and we're like, would they mind if we just sat up on
their
porch?
Could we just sit? Yeah. Now, I rented a little place there the last time we took, or the last couple of times, I guess we took John Garrett, and there was this little bakery right beside the little place that we stayed.
Yes, yes.
And they had banana Foster waffles. And I'm just going to tell you, y'all, I thought I had like died and gone to heaven. Mm. I mean, they were delicious.
Yes. I believe we had some with you. We came by and we had a little taste and they were very good. We also like is the Trailhead still there?
The Trailhead. Trailhead. My Father's Pizza.
Mm-hmm. That's a great spot.
And let's not forget Kilwin's Ice Cream.
Kilwin's Ice Cream.
The toasted coconut on a hot July day.
Oh. We literally stopped there, like on our way out of town.
It doesn't matter how late we are, if we need to be somewhere, but we are not leaving Black Mountain without toasted coconut ice cream.
I know. It's so good. It's so good. And they have lots of little crafts, you know, lots of little shops and little things. It's just a really cute little town. And then there's another restaurant that Avery took us to when we went and visited her when she was there doing the horses one summer. And I think it was called Louise's. I hope I got that right. And I think it was called Louise's. And it was a breakfast place. And it was in this house. And it was literally one of the best breakfasts I've ever had. It was so good. They make their own sausage. Well, it was delicious.
Maybe we need to leave. Maybe you shouldn't go home today. Maybe we just need to go up, take a little trip to Black Mountain.
Take a little meander.
Now,
you know?
I have to say this too.
Yeah.
We also, now one year, you and my mother and my cousin, Marianne, we rented a house for a week after we took the boys and dropped them off. And we stayed up there for a week.
Yeah, it was nice.
And, it was so nice. Oh. Going up to Pisgah.
Yes.
And, I mean, you're on top of the world.
I loved that place.
Yes.
I'd like to stay up there. Tell about that place.
Well, it was just a little, it was a hotel. I guess it was like a state run thing.
It's the Pisgah Inn.
the Pisgah Inn, and they also have a little restaurant, which we didn't stay at the inn, but we did have lunch there and, you know, sat on the rocking chairs and looked out over, the views. You're at the top of the mountain.
And yeah, it's 360 views. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then, and I don't remember, the food was good, but I don't remember.
It was good. I had a Monte Cristo.
I just remember the outstanding views. We also went to the Biltmore. And
oh my gosh, I love that place so much.
Oh gosh, it was gorgeous.
Y'all, and, seriously, if you're in the area, it's
and actually one of my favorite pictures of me that you took, and it's my back, it's not my face.
Yeah,
is standing there on the veranda, looking out over the mountains in this humongous column. I mean, I look like a little ant.
I love that picture. I did. I took this picture of her looking out. There's the big loggia, beautiful balcony. Anyway, and you were standing there, and you had like a blue, kind of a blue top Blowy thing top. On,
yeah.
And then the mountains were in the background, and it's just, I mean, anyway, it's an amazing place. Gorgeous.
And they had a whole chihuly, chihuly little display throughout the gardens. Mm-hmm. And
one of my favorite pictures of the two of us is us outside the chihuly. Making the crazy faces.
Yes, yeah. Where you look like, what is that painting? Is it
where I look like the scream from Albert?
The screamer, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of my favorites of you.
Yeah, you're looking weird in one too, but you never seem to show that one. You only seem to show the one that I'm looking crazy. I'm just pointing that out.
Look like a painting. You look like a famous painting in Morse, so.
Okay, but that's not why you show it. Let's just be honest. Oh,
okay. Am I back?
Because I'm now. You're back. Yeah, you got back. You got back. So yeah. So we did.
You're gonna have a lot of editing to do here.
I am. I'm gonna have to do a lot of cutting on this one. Which, you know, thanks a lot, people.
You're welcome.
you're welcome.
So, but we went to the Oak Grove Inn.
That's not what it's called.
What's it called? Oak Park or Grove Park?
That's it. You got it. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I know that's not
know.
Right. Y'all, we ate so good on that trip. And the Oak Grove Inn is spectacular as well.
I mean, sitting out there on the patio and I think I got like a wedge salad or something, but it's not the food, it's looking out over the mountains. I mean, it just was phenomenal.
It's so spectacular. That part of the country, I have to say, you know, if I had to pick somewhere else to live, it might be in the running because it's just peaceful. And yet there's things and towns and beautiful, you know, historic things. And it's just beautiful. Yeah. I would like to stay at the Grove Park Inn too. And it's haunted too. It's on our list haunted. I'm sure it is. Yeah. I heard a whole podcast about the ghost that lives there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Hey, and I want us to go to Blowing Rock, North Carolina, because one of my favorite book series is the, Father Tim. It's been a while. Oh, it's been the Mitford.
Yes.
The Mitford series.
Oh, okay. Who wrote
that? I don't remember her name.
Kincaid. No. Jan. No. Karen.
Yes.
Karen.
Caron. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Carone, Karen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Father Tim series.
Mm-hmm. Mitford.
And it's all based out of Blowing Rock, North Carolina.
Yeah. And I haven't been there. I think Tim and Thatch went there once, but I don't think I'm, that would be great. There's so much to see. It's gorgeous.
I know.
That's half of the reason we picked this camp to be out. I mean, there's other reasons, but Ridge Crossing, it's in a beautiful place. It's, you know, we figured, well, I wouldn't mind coming here, you know, every year for a while. This will be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you have kids and you're looking for summer camp, I highly recommend Christian camping. Two, we loved, our boys went to Camp Ridgecrest, and their sister camp, which Avery went to, is Camp Crestridge.
And they're right across the highway. So if you have boys and girls, it's very convenient. They can go at the same time. That was something with like our camp growing up you couldn't do. If you were a brother and sister, you had to go separate times. So really, it's better this way. Yeah.
They can be there together. Mm-hmm. And I always get because we used to go to camp in Mentone, and it's not, what is the little place, Billy Graham?
Oh, Montreat.
Montreat.
It's right by Montreat. It's right Black by Mountain. It's right by there. And there's Montreat College and the Billy Graham Montreat and his home and all that. And there's beautiful creeks and things there. And then it's near, we also stopped at Lake Junaluska.
Yes. Yeah. Lake Junaluska is a Methodist retreat center that I grew up going to a lot. My parents would go to, you know, on retreats, and it was just lovely. They have a cross on top of a mountain and this little walk of roses. And, you know, they have the ducks that, and the geese that would chase you. And,
a beautiful
but that
chapel.
Is actually, oh, the little chapel,
the little
stone chapel. That is actually Lake Junaluska is where I had my first taste of cheer wine.
Oh, that's very, very important.
Yes. Yes. If you've never had cheer wine,
yeah,
it's not an alcoholic beverage. It is a soda.
It is a soda.
I would
soda.
Have to explain this because you can sometimes get it. Mainly back then, you could only get it in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it started there, right?
And now you can get them at Cracker Barrel, and you can get them, or Kroger carries them.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's definitely spread out. And it's a cherry soda, similar
to Dr.
Pepper.
It's like a cherry Dr. Pepper.
But more cherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal.
And it's called Cheer Wine, and it is delicious.
Because it makes you cheery.
Makes you cheery.
Oh, so many fun memories. Well, you know, I was just going to say, I hope people, whatever you're doing this summer, you know, I'm sure people have kids going to camps and doing all the things and whatever, maybe there's different things. There's lots of Boy Scout camps and all, you know, all the different things. And just to know that it's so worth it, and way to go moms and dads for taking the sacrifice financially. They're not cheap, and to get there and do all the things, it's an investment, but it's a really good investment. I mean, look at us. We still talk. Meet people sometimes that are lifelong, you know, friends that you're going to have over the many years. So congratulations, parents. You're doing a good job.
I will tell you, and let me insert this too. I have said many times in my life, and I would say in my sister Streety's life, in our lives, camp was the best investment that my parents made, even over college in my life.
Yeah, I agree.
Camp.
I agree 100%.
The best investment.
Yep. You can go to lots of different schools, and those are important. And those are important.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not, but, you know, as far as my life and
lasting
who I
influence.
Am.
Yep.
Yes.
Agreed. Yep. Agreed. Oh, that's just awesome. All right. Now it is time for you to do your recipe.
Oh, my recipe. Well, I just think,
what did we decide on?
As we're coming into summer, and, you know, I don't think people tend to eat as heavy, you know, maybe grilling out and stuff, but I have a crunchy romaine salad that I'm going to put. It is, and really you can add what you want to, but I use romaine lettuce and some iceberg lettuce if I'm making it for a large group. You can do it with just romaine, but I just like a little iceberg
there
as well.
I like to mix it.
And you get a can of mandarin oranges, or two cans, however, whatever you want to do, drain them and put those in there. Some green onions, chopped up green onions. And I add strawberries to mine and some chopped broccoli. And then you take butter, and you melt it over a skillet, and you take some
chopped pecans. There's always going to be butter, guys. You know there's going to be butter or Cool Whip or mayonnaise.
No, whipping cream.
Or whipping
Not
cream.
Cool
I'm
whip,
just saying,
yeah.
those are key salad ingredients you need to know about. Okay, continue.
That's right. Cornbread. Don't forget the cornbread.
Or cornbread. There might be cornbread in your salad. Okay.
But you take butter, and you saute your pecans, and you take ramen. How do you say it? Romaine. I'm not romaine.
Ramen.
The ramen. I say ramen, but some people say,
Raymond?
I don't know how they say it. Raymond.
Well, nobody says that, Peony.
Raymond.
Nobody says that.
I promise
that.
You.
No.
They do.
God.
Ramen noodles. And you crush those up. Go ahead and discard that MSG-filled flavor.
The little packet of sodium
goodness. Don't want
goodness.
That. Don't want it. And you you crush up your noodles, and you saute those in the butter. Don't cook them. Just raw.
Right. Crunchy.
And so if I want to make it ahead of time, I'll make my salad up and put it in the refrigerator, and I'll keep my crunchies separate, or they're going to get soggy. and put those on soggy, right before you
We don't
serve
want soggy
it.
Crunchies. We don't want no. soggy crunchies.
No, okay. You won't. Never mind. Never mind.
I almost got her, guys. Okay.
And you're also going to make up your own dressing. And it is sugar and olive oil, red wine vinegar, and soy sauce.
Okay.
And you're going to mix that up and don't put that on until you're ready to serve your salad, because it will, with that vinegar in there, it's going to wilt your lettuce the longer that it sits. So that's that, but it is delicious.
Yeah, that's such a yummy salad with all the crunchies and all the sweet and vinegary dressing, all of that. I love that.
Yummy. It's just a good summer salad. It's a,
It is. Well, very good.
So that's my recipe.
Okay. And now it's time for your top three.
My top three.
Top three.
Does she have them, guys?
I do have them, but I got to get in my notes.
I know. Here.
Okay. So, as you know, I've been going on about my pool saga.
Oh, my gosh. Here. Y'all. Yes.
I mean, it was a stinking pond. So, I'm going to tell you, it is clear. It was ready for Holly to get in.
Day one, Caleb, I got here. It was
Caleb
beautiful.
Shank and I have busted our tails trying to figure it out and get it done. And I was vacuuming three times a day. But, so one of my favorite things is my electric pool vacuum. Now, I've got the one, you know, you got to plug it into the filter system and you take it through. That's a pain in the butt to have to deal with.
That's a lot of hose and
Yes. Yeah. Backwash, rent. Mm-hmm. You've got all that. My little electric pool vacuum. If you don't have like massive amounts that you have to do, you can come in, plug that or, you know, turn that thing on. You drop it down into the water. And it's on a pole. This is not one of those Polaris, you know, the robotic things. Mm-hmm. So it's relatively cheap. I mean, not cheap. It's, you're looking at $100, but that's a lot cheaper than
but
your,
for something,
you know, $1,000 robot.
That's not a, that's not even what a vacuum costs hardly.
Right.
Your house,
and
so.
Y'all, it goes through and it sucks up a lot of that, the silt and dirt, the just the little stuff that gets in your pool. It's not great for leaves, but it will go and through and pick up if you've got like algae in the bottom, if you've got dirt in the bottom, you got any of that kind of, you know, sandy stuff that gets in there. So my electric pool vacuum is easy and I love it because you pull it out, you know, rinse it out and you're good to go.
I love that. Yeah. She looked really, and you just charge it.
You just charge it. It does take about 4 hours to charge. So you got to kind of keep up with that. But, I mean, it's to not have to mess with that hose
and
all that stuff. That's great.
Oh, that's a good one.
My second one, since you are here, is the palmetto.
Oh my gosh.
Jalapeno pimento and cheese.
Oh. I think we've probably done this before, but we're going to do it again.
I don't think we have.
I don't know. I feel like I did it last year, but we're going to do it again if we did.
Well,
it doesn't
matter. Doing it.
It doesn't matter because it's that good.
Here's the deal. Really, my favorite is Holiday. There in Memphis, there's a Holiday ham, and they have that jalapeno pimento and cheese. And it is slap your mama good.
Mm.
But I can't get to Memphis to buy pimento and cheese all the time.
Mm-mm.
But palmetto jalapeno pimento and cheese is a very close second. And it's very highly, highly, highly recommended, that one.
It's really good.
Okay, and then I have a line of dresses. I know, here I am being a girl.
Look at her.
Line of dresses that I like at Belk.
Oh.
I know, I just went down to Florence to Belk, but they're called Wonderly, and they're gauzy, and they're...
Ooh, I like that.
You know, I just like the one that tied on my shoulder that I showed you. They're just very gauzy and flowy, and I like them. So...
I like that a lot. That's really a good, for this time of year, you're going to need some dresses, girls. Go get them.
That's right. That's right. Those are my three. Top three.
Awesome. Those are very good. Look at us.
No, look, well, I had a girly thing, an outdoor thing, and a foodie thing.
You did. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You're just growing. You're just learning and growing. Well, I think then that is it for today. Hope you guys have a really good, again, this will come out later in the week on Thursday, but hope your Memorial Day weekend was wonderful. And we, of course, are just so grateful for the country we live in and the sacrifice made by different soldiers and their families. So we're very grateful, and we will enjoy our time together with friends and family and cooking out and swimming with that in mind, that they help make that possible for us.
That's right.
So we will talk to you guys next week. We've got a couple more. We're definitely going to take a break over the 4th of July, but we'll talk about that later, just because I'm going to be coming down off of wedding
craziness. She's got a wedding.
We're going to be in Florida.
We all have a wedding here.
All of Designer Cornbread has a wedding, so we can't. Anyway, yeah, have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Goodbye, Cornbread.
Hey, peace out. I'll meet you in the pool. Get your thong on.
Oh. The world is not ready. Well, not ready for that. All right. See you in a minute. Bye.